Today on Hardwired,
here's the wisdom of God through the Jews' fall and blindness to provoke them to jealousy. Salvation has come to who? The Gentiles. Now, if their fall, the Jews' fall, is riches for the world of the Gentiles, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness when they return to Christ?
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message, but you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. As we continue our trek through the powerful book of Romans, we come today to one of the most difficult chapters in the entire New Testament, Romans chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is going to tackle some hot-button theological topics like sovereignty, foreknowledge, chosen, and election. He's going to show us the view of God's dealings with Israel from 30,000 feet up. We're also going to see just how we Gentiles fit into God's plan and how we were literally grafted into the olive tree of God's promises to the Jews. So let's get right to part two of the message, The Wild Olive Tree. The Wild Olive Tree. What in the world is that talking about? Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you. You're the wild olive tree. You just didn't know it. Now, let's dig in. We saw last time that salvation does not and cannot come through works. If we've heard anything in the book of Romans, it is that salvation can never be attained by our own best efforts, right? Our own best efforts can never save us. Now, the Jewish people were convinced of that you were saved by doing your best to obey the Mosaic law. They were convinced. That's how you get saved. I want you to understand that chapter 11, though it's about the Jewish people and the Gentiles and God's sovereign plan, there's many things in this chapter that matter in our now, right now, particularly prophetically, what's going on in the world. God will deal with apostate Christians the same way. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And for this reason, what reason? They rejected the truth. God will send them, say it with me, everybody. And who sends it? God, not the devil. Who do we usually think of as the deceiver or deluder? The devil. But here, God sends it. Here it is. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. He says, I'm going to send a strong delusion that they should believe, not a lie, not any old lie, but he uses the article, the lie. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. He has told us these things would happen. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, what can I do to be sure I never do that? Well, the very fact that you're concerned shows me there's hope for you, right? But you just stay in the word and stay in prayer and stay in fellowship. These people who say, well, you know, during COVID, I kind of got out of going to church. You know, I kind of got into sitting in my PJs with a cup of coffee, watching PJ on TV or on the computer. And I just kind of out of the habit of it. But that's okay because I still got my walk with God. Let me tell you something. I've been around a while and I know my Bible. Watch this. I've never seen anybody drift from church that also did not drift from God. Now, they'll tell you, oh, I don't need the church. I mean, me and Jesus, we're tight. Well, then you're calling the Bible a liar. Because the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is. But meet together more and more, particularly as you see the day of the Lord approaching, and encouraging one another. See, I need you. You need me. We're in this together. I need you. We need to be one anothering one another, right? Because we need each other. And so to say, well, I don't need the church anymore, that's like my finger saying, I don't need this body anymore. I'm jumping from this hand. Good luck, finger. I'll see you in a few days and you will be D-E-A-D. It's a fact. We are all members of the body of Christ. We need one another. Okay, now he talked about the stupor of the nation. Now he talks about the snare of the nation. David says, may their table become a snare and a trap. He's talking about the Jewish people now, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Well, what does that mean? In the holy place of the tabernacle before there was the temple was a table. And Israel's high and holy privilege was to eat, the way they saw it is eat with Jehovah in the tabernacle at his designated table. A privilege not just reserved for priests, but when they came to God with peace offerings for the people as well. So what is he saying? Let the table become a snare and a trap. In their feast days, also, Israel sat at a table, so to speak, with Jehovah. This was the highest, happiest, and holiest of all national privileges. It became a snare to the nation when the nation turned away in unbelief because they became more occupied with the ceremony than with the spiritual reality. It was just a ceremony, an empty ritual. Like some people take communion. They don't stop to think about what it means. They just do it because they've always done it. Catholic Church, you look at the Catholic Church, they believe you got to do it to have your sins forgiven and all of that. But they go week after week after week. That's just a ritual. It doesn't mean anything. There's people that do communion all the time, and it doesn't mean anything. It's just an empty ceremony, but not for those who understand what it means. Because it means his body was given for me, with his stripes I'm healed. His blood was shed for me. I am forgiven by it and redeemed and escorted into heaven's gates when my time comes. That's what it's about. And I preach his coming, or I preach his death until he comes. Okay? So we got to be careful. Nothing about church ever becomes a ritual. We want to know the meaning of it, understand the meaning of it. Now, next, Paul speaks of the servitude of the nation, okay? So he talked about the stupor of the nation. God has blinded them. The snare of the nation, they're caught up in empty ceremony. Next, the servitude of the nation. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see. Now listen to this next phrase. And their backs be bent forever. The bowing of the back is a vivid picture of servitude and fear. From generation to generation, this has proven true. The Jew has fled from land to land, ever pursued by the vicious curse of anti-Semitism, and it's rising in America again and around the world again. The national rejection of Christ, the national Jewish rejection of Christ, brought in its train untold miseries from age to age. You remember when they were calling out for Pilate to crucify Jesus and turn Barabbas loose. What did they say? His blood be on our heads. Oh my. Oh my. And on our children's heads. You know what they did right there? They spoke a curse over themselves. It makes me shudder to quote it. Hitler's death camps have been but one more high tide mark in the sorrows of the wandering Jew. From what is written on the prophetic page of Scripture, we know those horrors will not be the last. For still ahead of the nation of Israel are the horrors of the Great Tribulation, which I believe is just around the prophetic corner. But that's not the end of the story for the Jew. Everybody say amen. Amen. Zechariah the prophet wrote that after that final agony, the agony of the tribulation, God will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the Jewish people. What will he pour out? Say it with me. The spirit of grace and of supplications. And look what they will do. They will look upon me whom they did what to? Pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for the firstborn. Why are they going to be mourning? Because they're going to realize suddenly that all these centuries they rejected him, that he really was the Son of God. And they're going to be mourning that 20 plus centuries went by and our people rejected him. There will be great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn, every family apart. There's going to be a day, this is what we're being told, when the Jews turn in mass to Messiah. Isn't that going to be an incredible day? And in the meantime, God is dealing with the Jews disapprovingly. He says in verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? In other words, be done away with totally? Certainly not. But through their fall, watch this, all of you Gentiles, and all of you listening by radio, most of you are Gentiles. Listen to me, Gentiles. Here's the wisdom of God. Through the Jews' fall and blindness to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to who? The Gentiles. Now, if their fall, the Jews' fall, is riches for the world of the Gentiles, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness when they return to Christ? Paul had seen this principle work in city after city of the Roman Empire, where invariably his turning to the Gentiles was followed by deep resentment and jealousy on the part of the Jewish community. What are you doing going and preaching to the Gentiles? They're the offscouring of the earth. You ought to be reaching us, ministering to us. And Paul's answer to them was, I tried. You rejected the message. You rejected the gospel. So I decided I'm going to the Gentiles because they're accepting it and they're being saved. Paul goes on to discuss that if through their stubbornness and their jealousy and their rebellion, the Gentiles have fallen heir to such blessings, what riches are in store for the world when Israel is restored to its rightful position? God has not lost sight of his ultimate goal, which is the fulfillment of his promises to Abraham. This is so good. Do you get this, everybody? Paul not only explains what God is doing, he exploits what God is doing. He says in verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, the Jews, and save some of them, if I've got to go to you guys to make them jealous of what you're getting, I'll go to you guys to make them jealous of what you're getting. For if they're being cast away as the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. As goes the root, so goes the fruit. Paul hoped that by throwing himself into his great life's work of Gentile world evangelism, some of his Jewish brethren would be saved, even if jealousy is what God used.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Paul's reference to the root and the branches introduces the following things we all need to just know as you know your Bible. Abraham is the root that he's talking about. Abraham is the root. Since he was the depository of the promises, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. Through your descendants, all the people of the world are going to be blessed, so on and so forth. Genesis 12, when the promises were made to Abraham, so he's the root. The tree springing from the root is the race of Abraham, the Jewish people. The natural branches that he mentions coming out of the tree are the Jews, those who first partook of the tree's root and fatness. It was the Jewish people, not the Gentiles, okay? The engrafted branches that he mentions are the Gentiles placed upon the root, not the trunk or branches. The Gentile doesn't become a natural Jew, nor does he become of Israel, but he enters directly into the blessing promised by God to the Gentiles through Abraham. Amen? Now, while God is acting disapprovingly with Israel, but with the restoration of Israel in mind, he's also acting with the present redemption of the Gentiles in mind. Now look at verses 17 through 22. If some of the branches were broken off, who's that? Who was broken off? The Jews. They were broken off. They were broken off, all right? The natural branches is what we're talking about. And you, being a wild olive tree, a Gentile, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness and blessing of the olive tree. Don't boast against the branches. Don't say to Jewish people, na, 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 na. Don't boast against the Jewish people. No, because remember, you don't support the root. The root supports you. Now you're going to say then, well, branches were broken off. The Jewish people were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Paul says, well said, you're right. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you are standing by faith. Then he says, don't be haughty, but fear. Because if God didn't spare the natural branches, the Jewish people, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. Ponder both. On those who fell, the Jewish people, severity. They've been blinded all this time. But toward you, the Gentile, the goodness of God has been manifested because you have come to Christ through faith by grace. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise, you also will be cut off. Everybody say, whoa. So our whole attitude as saved Gentile believers should be, hey, the Jewish people were the recipients of all the promises. All the writers of the Bible except one was Jewish. Dr. Luke was Gentile. All the prophets were Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. You say, what color was his skin? Olive. Olive-skinned. He was Jewish. So the Jews received all the covenants, all the promises, and then they rejected the key to the fulfillment of all of it, Jesus Christ. So what did God do? The branches were broken off, and you and me, we were grafted in. Wild branches. And now we're partaking of all the promises and all of the blessings of the original olive tree. But he's telling us the day's coming when the Jews are going to come back home. Now watch this. We're almost done. Next, Paul shows that God has every intention of ultimately restoring Israel to all her former privileges. Verse 23, and they also, the Jewish people, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, so we were cut out of a wild olive tree, and as wild branches, we were grafted into a natural cultivated olive tree. How much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own original olive tree? If, says Paul, the grafting in, contrary to nature, of the Gentiles has been so fruitful, what will it be when Israel, the natural branches, come back into their own? He says, he quotes now, I believe this is Isaiah, I do not desire, brethren. No, it's Paul. I'm sorry, it's Paul. For I do not desire, brethren. Verses 25 and 26. I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. He's talking to Gentiles now. That blindness partially has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Everybody say, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I'm going to pause here for a moment. Let me expound on this a little bit. When you see verbiage like this, the fullness of the Gentiles, he's talking about there comes a time in the dealings of God when we note in the Bible sin reaches a fullness level and God releases judgment, or God's timing is fully realized and it's time for God to do what he said he would do, the fullness. When he refers to the fullness of the Gentiles, let me remind you about Luke 21. When this isn't in here, I'm going by memory here, but let me just do it. Luke 21, where Jesus is answering the questions from his disciples. What will be the sign of the end, the sign of the end of the age, and the sign of your return? What will be the signs?
Jesus listed the ones we all know about: earthquakes, famines, pestilences, so on and so forth. We'll be in many different places and all of that. But now, watch this one. This is a main one. He said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies and trampled down by Gentiles, he said, here's what's going to happen. Jerusalem is going to be trampled down by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, there you have the same verbiage. Fullness of the Gentiles, times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What does that mean? In 70 AD, 20 centuries ago, the Romans invaded Jerusalem under Titus. They leveled the city. They destroyed the temple, the glorious, beautiful temple. They didn't leave one stone standing on another that Jesus predicted would happen. And over 1 million Jews were slaughtered. This is why Jesus looked at Jerusalem before they killed him and wept and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not have me. John 1, he came to his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. He said, because of that, you're going to lose everything. Judgment's going to fall, and it did. And the Jews that survived became what we call the diaspora, or the dispersion. And they were dispersed throughout the entire world. And you know who trampled down Jerusalem, who ruled in Jerusalem, who occupied Jerusalem for centuries? Gentiles. Gentiles. Jesus said, you're going to be trampled down by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In other words, there's going to be a time when God's done dealing with the Gentiles. Now watch this. We've been alive to watch, for the first time in 20 centuries, Gentiles no longer rule Jerusalem. Jews do. That didn't happen for 20 centuries. Could it be? I'm just throwing it out there. The times of the Gentiles are just about up, and we're about to enter into a whole new age. Because do you realize when Jerusalem became the capital and Jewish people began to rule over it and not Gentiles, that was a massive, stunning fulfillment of Bible prophecy? Just throwing that out. That's not in here. This is free. But you read about it in Luke 21. Jesus answers their questions in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. But it's Luke 21 where he talks about the times of the Gentiles. He says, he's quoting, now this is what I was looking at. He's quoting Isaiah, I believe here. I'm not sure, but it's one of the prophets. The deliverer, capital D, will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. This is what God, through Christ, is going to do with the Jewish people. Now here, Paul boldly announces that all of Israel would be saved. He describes this as a mystery, a special insight into God's saving plan given to Paul himself by revelation. When the full number of Gentiles have come to Christ and the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, it'll happen. This does not mean that all the Jews are going to be saved. It's like referring to the full number, similar to the full number of Gentiles. There's a timer on all this, God's timing. God has not forsaken the Jew. All things are being orchestrated by his incredible sovereignty. So let's read the last few verses concerning the gospel. They, the Jewish people, are enemies, but it's for your sake, Gentiles, because I've turned to you now with the gospel. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. In other words, because of God's promise to the fathers, he will never, ever, ever forsake the Jewish people fully. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they may also obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all.
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.